The General Adventuring Company is a fictional, silly, serious, violent, PG-16 adjacent production that is not for kids. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Welcome to this little talk back for the General Adventuring Company. Talk back, stack, attack. We are here to talk about episode 7, where a lot of very surprising little character moments happen. So please check it out if you have not. I know that many of us were acting our little butts off throughout it, prompted by all the nonsense going on. So I actually would love to turn the first question over to Adam, because after all of the excitement of this is how the tournament works, these are the people that'll die, this is this, I'd love to, like, reasonably pull back the curtain of your planning process for a more freeform episode like this for any other burgeoning DMs looking to have downtime where emotional things can still happen.
Honestly, I was, like, super worried. I was like, I don't know. I got some ideas of things that they might realistically do, and I don't know if they're gonna do them or not. So I was like, fuck. But you guys did it, and you did it great. I think
so. Adam's process is to look at the paper and be like,
I mean, I guess, like, moving back to the actual planning process of it, I was thinking, like, okay, well, what would they, like, logically want to do? And I did message you guys before the episode, and I was like, hey, what do you guys think you would want to do? Because that's a thing I always, whenever we're on the spot and, like, having to improv stuff, it's just kind of like, oh, well, you improv to a certain extent, but if there is a cool thing that the players or characters want to do, I want to be able to, like, fully commit to that and not just improv for
it. You want to be able to have something ready for if people want to do it.
Yeah, like,
without, like, necessarily, like, scripting the whole thing.
Exactly. Like, if you were like, oh, I have a really cool idea, and I'm like, just trying to, like, scramble and try to make it work, I feel like it won't be as cohesive with everything. It wouldn't be as fun and planned out that if I didn't already think of it before or whatever. I asked you guys' suggestions, and that's a big thing I think is great, is just collaborating with your players. I think a lot of times DMs are like, I can't talk to them. I can't, like, they'll know my plans or whatever. It's kind of like me versus them with some DMs, but I think creating it together and getting those ideas puts less pressure on you and less pressure on them, which is very fun. But basically just tried to put a bunch of logical conclusions to whatever you guys wanted to do, and then just kind of wrote them out, and I was like, this can happen in any sort of order, I guess, and really left it up to you, and you guys really delivered and made the pacing work, and
fun other little bit of news before we start asking each other a bunch of questions. I do want to turn the microphone over to our dear Matthew Eberle. Jaeger's sticking around, huh, for at least a little bit longer.
I think Luvia? We have at least two more episodes left, or one. We'll see how things go. Jaeger's been a blast, loving everything that's happening, but from even a story standpoint, Jaeger has to have a justification to stay, and I think he's starting to get one, but again, it's one of those things where unless it's organic, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm always a big proponent of letting the story tell itself, and if something doesn't naturally flow into it, then it doesn't fit. So again, we'll see what happens. Things look promising, but you never know. Something may happen.
Ooh,
you're
there's
die,
still
isn't he?
What do you mean something may happen?
Stoneboy's
gonna die.
What
are you
doing? There's still a lot you guys don't know about Jaeger yet.
What does that mean? No.
Stay tuned this week.
No. No.
Any his save can't be that good. Cast suggestion. It'll be great. Making spells nuts.
We'll see if it sticks.
I mean, if it's something he already would realistically do, then perhaps yes.
We'll see.
Dan, we'll turn the mic over to Maddie. You had a nice little moment with Vincera's brother in a cage.
Oh my god!
How did that make you feel?
It's
wait, where are my glasses?
It made me feel. I literally was shaking during that entire interaction. When I act, I put my entire ass into it, so it was great.
Ass acting, yes.
I was actually, I was really proud of all of the character moments that I got to have during this last episode, and it's probably been my favorite episode ever that I've gotten to participate in, and I love that. Just because I feel like the trap that a character like Vincere falls into, because he's good at the deflection, he's good at the jokes, he's very good at the I'm just a fairly little, you know, fancy boy, but the parts that I love are showing the emotional depth of these kind, like, that you can have to have like a whole rounded character. And that's my favorite thing, and that's been like my challenge to myself in the last couple of episodes, is to find moments of having that like emotional depth, and I got to do that, and I think it was really fun, even though this conversation did not go well at all, which was honestly kind of perfect, because what it did was, for one of the first times in Vincere's life, he just went off and was like, no, this is how I want this to be, and this is how I am going to do this. I am giving you this thing. Now, did Vincere go into this conversation with a shitty attitude and like a kind of a shitty thing, being like, yeah, you didn't do that right because you got in a cage? Like, that's, you know, not the way you should go into that kind of thing, but it's the kind of thing that Vincere is a hurt person, and hurt people hurt people. So, and the same thing where his
he was a hurt boy, and yeah, so did the same thing.
And it's from a lot of fear and just like anger in that kind of way. You see a lot of very interesting things. Now, I just think it's interesting now that I have one brother who I've basically driven back to my father, and then the other one who I'm like, well, I hope you like me. So, because I also don't know if Ives is gonna like connect with me on that way either. Yeah. I have a feeling he might, because we're similar, more similar than I realized now. But that doesn't mean anything. So we'll see how that goes.
Families be complicated.
Really? They really do.
That's also one of the things.
Be complicated.
But we'll put it on the mug. Yeah. Now, that's one of the things I'm excited to see with Ives, is Vincere has had a bit of time to come to cope with their powers and understand what they are. Well, maybe not what they are, but, you know, get used to having them. When you have someone like Ives, who's now, what, almost an adult, and their entire lives they've been coached that being an accursed is bad, dangerous, all this other stuff, and all of a sudden they find out they're an accursed. So what is that going to do to them psychologically, and how will that come out in Ives moving forward? And so I'm excited to see what Adam does with that one. Mm.
Something else that really excited me about that scene is that your interactions with your brother have changed him. And it's not evident how yet, but the next time you see him, he's going to be different towards you or towards Papa. Like, Vincere, even though, like, you didn't free your brother, there is a change that this NPC is going to have in all of their relationships throughout the campaign because of that conversation you had. And I think that's a really beautiful way that you and Adam managed to move the world of Edoras just a little bit.
Yeah. I also don't fully believe that you've pushed him away as hard as you think. I think, if anything, definitely a possibility. Listen, words were said. But I think there's also like just as much opportunity for him to kind of, this been a slap in his face, to kind of recognize where you stand in this. And maybe that's not going to result in as much anger as you're expecting. I don't know. I'm not Adam, but I'm hopeful in a nice reunion between brothers. So
I don't even know if I don't know what I want out of this. because I think it's really, really interesting to have the animosity there. Because Vincere is actively trying to move away from his family and separate himself from that world, because that's not a world he wants to be a part of, despite also having this connection of, like, maybe if I just try this way one more time, kind of a thing, which is, it seems counterintuitive, but it's, you know, like, how families work, because if you, I mean, you ask anybody who's had to push their family away, if they had one last chance and if it worked, that's that kind of thing. Ooh. So, which is hard and stupid and tough, but that's how humans and, you know, people who, well, I mean, Vincere's a half-elf, but, like, that's how humanity, like, typically works. But, like, listen, we love Vincere going through his bridge-burning era. We love it. We love the messy. We love it.
It's so funny that I was just, like, I wrote down for the interaction, like, he's in denial, he's scared, and then all of this comes from that. And I'm just like, oh, dope. I'm like, cool, yep. look, we did a thing.
Much fun.
But sort of jumping off from that to other surprises, I was surprised that... by two things. That first, you guys made a name this episode.
Sorry again.
And and also you let Jolly John go. Those are both two very interesting surprises.
Oh, I was getting to the any stuff, don't you worry. But we can talk about our naming process a little bit.
Yeah, I am interested in what other names you guys had and why you
Three
narrowed
Kids
down
and a Rat
that
was a good one.
Three Kids and a Rat
was one that Julian suggested.
The Rat Pack.
No,
love
hang
that.
On. I'm pulling up our chat. I'm just gonna bring it. I'm just gonna go from the top. It was me saying, "Hey, let's keep a secret from Adam," and then immediately Julian responded with "Shepherd Breakers, the Eterus Alliance," and then Three Kids and a Rat. We went to fighting sheep, sheep catchers, but in Latin, which was ovium.
Acupes, baby.
Acupes. I said the Iligad, which was the mice. Julian then said the mouse bites. I said the ankle biters. Maddie then said chomp chomp. I recommended tarso vitae, which is ankle biters in Latin. Mm-hmm. And we just kept it. And I'm sorry, but I'm not.
No, it's very good.
The last campaign I was in under Adam being DM, which was also my first campaign with Adam, I named our group the YMCA.
Ha!
Which is your mainly capable adventurers.
Right. I was like, why did we call him
really
that?
Really good.
I apologize for that, and I apologize for this, but I will not stop, and I can't be stopped. I'm sorry.
Can't stop.
Yeah. Can't stop.
I well, I think
that's
it's very fun.
It's very
fitting. For the group, I think I was talking to my mom about this or something, and I was like, it's fun because they have like a serious name, like Tarso Vitae, and then they have a silly name, which is the Ankle Biters, and I was like, and that's very much TGAC, so I was like, they did a good job.
But also, it's not like there's no meaning in it. Like, yeah, Ankle Biters is a term for like little kids, but throughout this campaign, literally up until the last episode where we started getting a reputation for ourselves, we have been small fish, and and that kind of translates to our relationship with like the Iron Shepherds, with Vec. Everyone is like, what the hell do you all think you're doing? And we mess up like 70% of the things we do. But
we are quite literally someone's like pet fish that they got from like Petco or something that they then were like, be free, fishy, and threw in the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, go, be free, and we're like,
yep. But we are starting to get annoying to the bad people in Eterus. We are starting to bite at their ankles, so I think that's an appropriate name.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I have a question. I'm curious, Kaylee, your thoughts about letting Jolly John go, and then also not giving them to like the guards and stuff. I mean, like, I had those options ready because I was like, I want to. Yes. You know, I mean, this is what he would want to do. So I was like, I'm just wondering what their course of action would be. So like, what was your thought process there?
Honest to God, surprised me a little bit too. I love. Yeah. Don't you love when your own character surprises you? It's probably one of my favorite things about D&D, especially when you have to deal with the repercussions and you're like, "Well, I didn't do it, but it was. It was you.
That wasn't me."
So the thought process there is, Annie is in one word naive, and I love that for her. But also, oof.
I'm dead. Amazing.
So Annie was kind of, the thought process there was Annie was like, man, like, I know Vincere's going to get the guards, but this is such a good opportunity for us to figure out some stuff that's going down. And I can't do that if he's in jail and we might not be able to access him and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, okay, let's boogie. So we boogied. And then we got there and he was not the most hesitant about opening up about some stuff because homeboy planned on going on vacation anyway. So like, listen, good for him. I, as Annie, am sitting here just in Annie's perspective. It was like, oh, you know, he really doesn't care one way or another. He was just doing a job and he was hired for that job. So it's not really his fault. And so I don't see why he should be blamed because he was just trying to make some money. And imagine this in Annie's voice where she's just like, yeah, and I, you know, he was just doing a job and he just needed the money and he didn't want to, but he did take that. Literally, that was what was going on in my brain. And
beautiful.
At the end, I was like, well, yep. Yes. but he was cooperative, and in Eddie's eyes, just very much just seemed like he was getting a job done to get a job done, and that he didn't really care one way or another, and he was being pretty helpful with giving a little bit of information, so she was like, ah, it's fine. And in the back of Kaylee's head, I'm like, maybe I can get a favor out of this one day. Hopefully, maybe. I don't know. He'd be like, ah, time to die. And I'd be like, hey, remember that time I didn't arrest you? Like,
and he's like, ah, geez, my honor.
No, but like, maybe the assassin. Easy, maybe a lower DC persuasion check. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's literally it. Annie is naive, and she really wants to think the best of people. That's about it.
There's actually a lot of dramatic things that happened for Annie this episode, like multiple ones that I feel like kind of flew under the radar a little bit. But though I kind of feel like the ending Shadow Man bursting the door down moment is something that needs to be explored like later in game. I have
don't worry, it'll be happening next episode.
Oh, yes. I have questions about storming to Pendle Ridge's manor and what you expected to happen. We don't usually see any be, like, aggressive like that.
Honestly, it was mostly panic. She didn't know what to do, but she desperately wanted to see that she was okay. And if that meant running into the wolf's den, then that meant running into the wolf's den. I'm very glad that Maddie actually asked me about this earlier this week because I was not ready to answer that. And then I was like, why did I do that? Fun fact. And he surprised me again. Several times.
Kaylee was absent and he was present.
Listen, I turn off. She just the flip switch. Switch flip.
You're a skateboarder.
Whatever. A nice ollie, man.
Fan art, go ahead. Anyway.
But yeah, I... Honest to God, I'm kind of glad that it didn't go anywhere because I think that it could have gotten very easily out of character if I wasn't checked a little bit. Because I, Kaylee, and a lot of my past characters, I have a very big problem with, like, most every other player I've ever played in my entire life has been aggressively confrontational, and Annie is not. So it was, I'm kind of glad it didn't work out, because even though at first it was more of a panic, it very much turned into almost me doing stuff out of character, and I think I would have caught it before it happened, but like, I don't know. I'm just it was wild. I
mean, it's difficult when you're playing a character and like the player is just like, ah, you but then you're like wait, but like how is my, would my character respond? Because like sometimes I'm like, I try to think of a complicated plan, but my character has like zero intelligence or something like that. Mm. And I'm like, I gotta like, it's difficult to like have that balance sometimes.
Literally, like when we got up to the castle finally, at first I was going to try to do some like magic stuff, and then there was just too many people around. And then we got to the castle itself, and the moment I was like stuck in that blockade of like, okay, well, what do you want to do now? They're not letting you in. I was like, okay, hang on, let me reset here. What would Annie do? And I'm like, okay, what is she currently doing? She's having a breakdown. So let's just have a breakdown. And then, you know, me and Jaeger got to have that nice moment. So I was like, this is not the kind of breakdown I should be having. Let's scoot it a little more into the other side of this, where it's less confrontational and more like, I want to see her though. Like, so I just had to like, just adjust it a little to the left, you know?
I love it. I mean, I loved that you went there and did that. Because Julian said something, I think, after the episode that you were like, that you felt that, I'm going to butcher it, but it was something like, we were like, hey, it was great that that happened because it felt like we could go anywhere. And I was like, yes, that is what I want you guys to feel. So I'm really glad that you went after it and it was good.
Yeah, Adam, listen, you got a scary world and we feel like small fish in it. So if there's sometimes hesitation for us to do things like jump into the wolf's den, it's because we got scary, scary adversaries.
It's because there's wolves in there, like, bro.
Yeah. That's because there's big bitey chompies in there.
No, but, they're gonna bite us. Good, though. I mean, like, even if it wasn't an aggressive situation... just the fact that you guys are like, I want to go do this, or I have an idea, let's go this way, blah, blah, blah. Love that. Love being surprised.
I've got 8 more HP to go into the wolf's den now.
Right? We're fine. It's fine.
Yeah, that's like one hit.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's right. I guess, I don't know if we said it in the episode, but once you guys sleep, you'll be level 6.
Woo!
So you guys have had like a whole episode to look at the level 6 character sheets and be like, not yet. Almost.
Going into like D&D brain Julian for a second, I like agonized over this level because I was like, I could take Great Weapon Master, which gives me an extra attack if I kill things, but then I'm like, I feel like right now the priority is like meta-wise, like ability checks, and I feel like that's in character for Seanog. He's probably not going to suddenly learn how to use big weapons better. Like, this is just a general period of growth. Maxing strength makes sense, but these are the type of decisions I agonize over. So that was fun.
Dope. I mean, also, that's another thing. If you guys ever want to make a level up in character or something like that, you can, like, let me know. Like, hey, I want to take this thing, so before we get to that level, can you, like, I don't know, introduce a person? Like, Julian, if you wanted to do two-weapon fighting, can I train with this person to make this, like, legitimately, like, in character or something like that? I would be super happy.
I think if I do anything, it'll be to multi-class into War Wizard. Because they have a bonus action +4 to their AC every turn.
Nice. All right, I'm gonna write down. Add a war wizard.
How do I get higher AC?
Maybe. Maybe.
Okay, I'll put a question mark.
Because alternately, if Seanog goes all the way in fighter, his stats are gonna go through the fucking roof. I can max dexterity, constitution, and intelligence if I go full fighter up to 20.
Cha-cha-cha. Since we're talking about character sheets right now, what did everyone else do? Or, unless you want it to be a surprise.
I got spells, and I'll show you someday. That's about it.
Nice. Is this almost is this fireball level 6?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, did you get another slot?
Do you have third level spells?
Yeah.
I already had third level spells. Okay. But I got an extra one.
Hey, me too.
I did not pick that, though.
That's okay. Any wanton destruction probably isn't Annie's thing anyway.
Well, see, the thing is I already have other fire spells that are available to me as a tiefling that I have not been using, so I'm like, well, why would I use fireball then?
Hail Mary.
So it was more like, I'm trying to keep a theme with her spells, with this, like, creepy stuff going on, and then the kind of helpful at the other side. And for some reason, I've also just picked some, like, thundery lightning BS for some reason. I think that's just Kaylee speaking. So I just have creepy and lightning. And then I have tiefling fire here and there.
Okay, so yes, calm down.
Do it. Fire and lightning suits any, though. Like, very explosive, but just very natural.
Fast,
I don't
surprising,
know,
and explodes.
Fast and surprising.
Explodes. Do it.
We are running a little short on talkback time, so the audience question is actually for... Was that, Adam?
I'm just doing Palpatine quotes in Annie's voice. Amazing. I am the Senate.
I am the Senate.
This is not something the Jedi will tell you.
Oh my God.
So, you are the Jedi.
Come to the dark side. We really do have cookies now. I baked them.
That's just evil Annie. Gosh. No change in personality.
Sorry, I've thought about corrupt Annie. Don't even test me.
Sorry, I interrupted you, Julian.
You're okay. Question is for Maddie and Kaylee this week, because it is in regards to the Wild West one-off that myself, Adam, and Matt played with Tulok the Barbarian, a big D&D YouTuber, really awesome guy who guested as a telekinetic strongman in our Wild West game.
He was punsational.
Truly. So the question was for Kaylee and Maddie, if you all were in a cowboy game like that in the future, what type of cowpoke do you think you would be playing? And you can have a sec to think about that, because I just want to talk about that Wild West one-off. It was really awesome. We're probably not going to have a separate talkback for it, but check it out. It was really fun. Me, as the DM, was just like, what are all the coolest Wild West tropes? How do I fit them all into 2 hours? That's usually how my brain works with this type of thing.
Without spoiling, I was happy there was a train. I won't say when, but there was a train, and I was happy that there was a train, because
would you say it was a rootin' tootin' good time?
I would say it was. I couldn't think of anything.
It was a rootin' tootin' choo-choo-tin' time.
Oh, it was a wild west.
My excuse from the table, please.
Oh my God, Maddie and Kaylee, what type of cowpokes do you think you would play in a hypothetical wink future Wild West game?
Kaylee, do you have an answer? Because I do.
Please,
you're
go.
Welcome to, okay, I would
have
be
one,
a sentient horse.
Oh no!
And I don't know what I'd want. I would want to be a bank robber horse. And that's it. That's my
bank robber horse.
So you're a druid. That's what I'm getting here. You're a druid.
No, I'm a horse.
I didn't know she was druish.
I think what we do is we repurpose the centaur stat block, which is just basically you have a lot of HP and can make a hoof attack as a bonus action, and you have extra movement. That's a horse. That's a horse right there. You just say you hold the halberd in your mouth. You're done.
That's it. Perfect.
Would you be a talking horse, or would you just...
Just a
talking horse. Would you want to sit at a table where I couldn't talk? Mm-mm. No one would want that.
We see a lot of physical comedy, but for our audio listeners, they would be very confused.
Very sad.
Maddie just did a thing. She's squatting again. And
eyes are bugging out. She's really close to the camera.
Maddie's eyes.
If you're curious, just Google pony play. It'll be fine.
Pony play?
Anyway,
that seems like a steep slope to Porn Town.
Kaylee, not Porn Town. Kaylee, get us out of Porn Town.
I hate it here. No, I don't. Okay, fun fact, I was actually supposed to be in the Wild West, and due to some fun staffing issues, I had to go in and cover for someone who never showed up.
You tell her who's definitely gonna watch this talk.
Hey Ashley, if you're out there, you suck.
Hey Ashley, if you're out there, I was already used to covering your shift. So this was not new. Anyway, no, but I was supposed to. I was supposed to be in it. I was not able to. I know I had something that I texted Julie, and I don't remember what it is. I don't really care what it is anymore. I don't care what I was. I don't care who I was. I don't care what my backstory was. I just want to be a beefy boy again. I just want to be a beefy boy who can stab.
That's interesting because the idea you sent me was a grung, so like a 3 foot tall frog person.
No, actually, grung. I still like that. I want to be a frog cowboy. No, I want to be a barbarian grung. I want to be a barbarian grung, and none of you can stop me.
A ribbit.
A rootin' tootin' ribbitin' boy. Oh my God. Hey, Maddie, do you want to talk about our moment?
I would love to talk about a moment.
I love the emotional bonding time.
Only if we can talk about Seanogs and Jaeger's moment.
That sends me. Oh my God,
I have never laughed more in my life. I hate you guys with so much love and passion. It's not even funny.
Chef's kiss. That was beautiful. Just full disclosure, I've watched this episode redacted amount of times because I'm just obsessed with it. But it's just like the end part was such a beautiful way, in both ways, of talking about burpees and stuff. I thought it was such a beautiful way to just end. Like, it's a little bracket on this, because I said this before we actually recorded the episode. This whole episode felt like just the come down from all of the stuff that's happened, and then more things happened, and then I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it was like the come down, and then it was like, ah!
It was, you know, it's the yelling. When you go out on a ledge and you just screech for a little bit, and then you feel a little bit better, but not really, okay. And you're just gonna go right back to it.
I can't do that anymore. I live in an apartment now.
I mean, listen, you can do anything if you want to lower your rent in the area. Anyway,
Maddie, I don't know if this is good advice.
Lower
to give
property
to people.
Value.
Exactly.
I'll tell
you just
in
go
a week
scream
how that
once
goes.
A month
you're
on your street,
get
it'll lower your property value. Anyway.
Not if they don't know it's me.
Exactly. It only works if you live in the hood. Anyway, I really thought that because I've been looking forward to having a moment to connect, like with Eddie specifically, because we started the journey together and we've been through it. And
we've started the journey together, we've been through it, and we have not had an actual emotional conversation yet, which is wild.
It was great.
I don't know if I forgot to mention this in the episode, but the moment that you guys were talking about wasn't something that happened in either the prequel or the these episodes. Yeah. Did I mention that?
I'll mention it now. we had one moment previously where Vincere was like, "Hey, you seem like you're having a hard time. Do you want to talk?" And then he was like, "Nah." And then it died.
Oh, I mean, like how you guys met, basically.
Yeah.
We have not addressed that yet.
I guess, do you guys want to just briefly, like, be like, this is, like, kind of the written backstory before the prequel episode one, and, like, this was how we met, just to, like, tell the audience?
Go for it.
Sure.
Go, Kaylee, go.
Me? Hello.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact ones. I'd have to go back into my notes for that. But essentially, me and Vincere met at a bar.
He was
just like, "Hi."
And Vincere was like, "Please don't talk to me."
And Vincere was like, "Don't talk to me. I'm going out back to get beaten up by drunkards." And then I came out and I was like, "Kaboom, whoopsies." And Vincere was like, "We gotta go." And then we left. And then Vincere and Eni were together the next day. And Vincere's just like, "Oh yeah, cool. Thanks for that. Thanks.
I'm gonna
and
go
and
over
he was
here,
like, "Cool,
bye.
Where are we going now?" And Vincere was like, I'm going over here. And Eni was like, "Cool, let's go." And then that happened for like a week, and then Vincere finally just accepted his fate. So Eni has been sitting in this thing where she was very much aware that Vincere did not want to travel with her. And she's been terrified that he was going to leave the whole time. But she was grabbing on for dear life, and we finally addressed it a little bit.
Cool.
But yeah, I mean, that's how Vincere and Eni met, and then we traveled a little bit, and then we met y'all. Yeah.
That does put a lot of weight on the whole, like, "I know you don't want to travel with me" moment, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because she does. She was aware of it. She was just desperate for someone to travel with, because she's never been alone. She doesn't want to be alone. She doesn't know how to be alone. So she grabbed on the first person who was with her through anything and ran.
Yeah.
Some healthy codependency.
Asshole, anyway.
I'm sorry. We love him anyway.
I love him, but he's such an asshole. Ugh, my bean.
I love Vincere so much. It's not even funny. And I tell Maddie that every day. And she's like, he sucks. And I'm like, I love that he sucks.
He sucks in the best way. I mean, he's such a douchebag sometimes. And then I'm like, you have redeemable qualities and we want to show them, bitch.
Use them.
And then he's like, nah.
Speaking of sucking, you guys, no wait. You guys decided to be like, hey, Austillion, I want to tell you all of this stuff.
Finally,
so what made you guys decide to do that? To, like, share all of the info with the people who haven't seen necessarily the prequel episodes. They were just, I mean, it was just kind of like an antagonistic relationship kind of thing. But, like, they were kind of on the same side, but not.
It was mostly, like, yeah. Gwen was like, I don't really trust you. And we were like, oh, okay, well, that makes this hard. And we don't like authority. So suck it, Gwen.
Yeah.
And then it just kept going from there.
She, to be fair, she did blind one of our party members in one eye with a poker.
Yeah. Yes.
I will say, she was ordered to.
To be fair, you guys lied through your teeth.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Bodily harm for lying.
But anyways, focusing on now, why did you, what made you guys think to like be like, hey, yeah, let's go with this lady.
And he's just sick of her holding us back on certain things.
She's just kind of getting annoying, I think.
Like,
she's
we like, can't do anything important without Gwen popping up and being like, why are you involved, though? And I'm like, he's leaving. He's getting away. Go. And she's like, I want to know more. So finally, I'm like, okay, listen. Here's exactly what's happening. Please step aside or walk with us while we talk. Essentially, that was any side of it. She doesn't like her still, but.
I wasn't really a part of this conversation because I was being moody in a corner.
Right.
Didn't even take a pretzel.
No, I didn't even take
didn't
a pretzel.
Even
you were busy
pretzel.
Getting your eye removed.
Yeah, it was great. What a time. Wow, we'll talk about that someday.
God dang it.
But my thinking is, like, looking forward, and this is more, like, player brain, this gives us another avenue because the Pendle Ridge stuff seems like it's going to resolve very soon. And either he's going to do the thing that he is aiming to do or he's going to get got. And I'm hoping that getting Austillion on our side is going to give us another chance to, like, basically help him get got instead of help him get king. So with some of the plotting and planning that we're doing looking forward, I think she could be a really big part of that, because it's with her being so focused on finding the truth and finding, like, doing basically, like, playing the game, doing the right thing and winning. That is a dual-edged sword, but if we use the sharp edge to cut his head off, I think it could be advantageous as long as we don't get cut along the way, which I'm really excited. I'm really afraid with all of the, just side note, I'm really afraid with all the Pendle Ridge stuff that once we get him, it's just going to be like a Hydra head situation where we chop off that head and then two more appear in his place. However, once we actually get him got, maybe the other heads will also surface and then we can just chop them all off at some point.
Wait, are you really telling me systemic change is more significant than individual change?
Oh my god, am I?
What? Is it more of a problem rooted in the society?
Oh, hello.
Interesting.
But anyway, I've been thinking about a lot of how I would like to deal with Pendle Ridge, and I'm very excited to explore these options.
I just hope to god I don't end up alone with him again.
I hope you do.
You know?
Listen, I have been dreaming that maybe Annie would be the killing blow to him someday. And I am very interested. I hope so, just because I want to see what that would do for her as a character. Also because I, Kaylee, want it.
I mean, it's funny because, like, way back during the wedding. Or not the wedding. That's going to be happening soon. Way back at the masquerade, It was just because you randomly were chosen to dance with Pendlebridge. I like rolled like a D4 basically, and it was you. And I was like, okay, cool. So I mean, it could have been Seanog or Vincere. Well, I know, I guess Vincere. It couldn't have been Vincere because Vincere was a different person at that moment. So it could have been Seanog, dancing with him, and just because you were like, oh, I'm gonna hurt you, that made him hate you most. So like it could have been directed towards Seanog, if he would have been there and then maybe tried to hurt him. So I thought it was very interesting that it was kind of like, you're like, hey, a bad guy, I come here and like, like pulled the focus onto you, which I think is interesting.
I am actually very glad that that happened, because it's caused some very interesting situations and interesting plot developments specifically towards that. Hey, Julian, what would you have done if you were in the dance situation with him?
Yeah, that's interesting. Ooh.
I'm curious now.
I truly am not sure. Probably just made myself as annoying to him as possible. Just been like, wow, there's four of us and you have a veritable army of incredibly hostile and aggressive murderers. And here I am, in the same room as you, stepping with my dirty little shoes on your ground. Something like that.
And then he dips you.
See, all I can picture is every dance move Seanog's just coming up with names for. Like, flying dip!
Yep. Oh, he doesn't... Pendlebridge doesn't get that. That's safe for Layla. Layla gets the flying dip.
Last sort of question I feel like I have is the wizard in the mirror at the end, which is a great title for my new children's book, I guess. The wizard in the mirror,
written by Adam Savage.
Don't talk to wizards in the mirrors, kids, even if they promise you spell slots.
Get the spell slots first.
Then ditch the wizard.
Promise nothing.
That was nothing. I, Kaylee, am interested in that. Annie is just so over it.
That was like perfect timing.
She's like,
that.
I swear to God.
Yeah, that was kind of my reaction too. It's like, damn, there's a lot of shit going on here. Like the only thing I felt I could say as a player / as a character was like, you get that, Annie? Like, stuff is still happening. I'm sorry you're in another room with an exploding demon inside of you.
Meanwhile, Jaeger's in the corner, exploding demon, knight assassination, racist king runner. Let's see, how can we juggle all these things at once? And I got ankle biters running around me, chomping at my knees.
Hey, you're one of them now, kid.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Amazing.
Oh, boy.
I'm excited to see what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hope some eldritch being lives in the basement and we get to see him and meet him and say hi.
I like that we have allies, though. This does kind of tie back to something that I was thinking about saying a little while ago. At the start of the episode, when we were able to assemble, like, Carrick and Jorin and Fletcher and everybody in the room together, that was the first time it felt like we had like a group of allies other than ourselves. Because both in the prequel campaign and in the proper campaign, we've had individual NPCs who were like, hey, we'll help you get from point A to point B. That was the first time it felt like where we were together in a room with people being like, hey, we are a group of people trying to prevent bad stuff from happening, and it's not just the party here. So when the wizard showed up in the mirror, on the one hand, it was a little exasperating to be like, oh God, there's so much stuff happening. But also, we're not alone in this. There are other people who have vested interest in us. Who knows if they will be more helpful than just giving us information like that. But yeah, we're not alone in the struggle, which is nice.
I'm also very curious to find out who of our allies either is in league with a wizard or has passed on word to this wizard that we are involved in this, or maybe the wizard just found out otherwise. I'm wondering if maybe we have another ally outside of like Jorin and Carrick who don't care about magic and are maybe willing to use it. Because that's a wizard and he's talking to us with magic. So obviously he knows that we're chill and we know that he's chill, but who's the in-between man? You know?
Yeah. Mm. How did you find
Who sent you?
I do want to comment on the, like, there's a lot of stuff to do and a lot of bad guys. I always like the reason for that is I always like the trope of kind of like insurmountable odds, but the heroes keep going, even though it seems impossible. And I don't know how well that translates to a TTRPG, but I mean, it's like, you guys wouldn't be heroes or adventurers if you're just like, well, there's too many bad guys, I'm gonna go home. So I guess that's like, from my brain, that's sort of where I was coming at, just like, we got this bad guy, this stuff's going on. And then it's like, and you guys are kind of like the focal point of the good people. So it's like, mm-hmm. you're the ones that are bringing these good people together, kind of like a mm-hmm. thing. So it's like, Tarso Vide is the middle point, and you're like grabbing people to be like, come in, come on, let's mm-hmm. fight these bad guys, even though you don't know that they're bad guys, but we know, and we're gonna gather the dudes to fight the bad boys. Kind of like, you know, in Mass Effect, if you play the video games, on the third game, you're like gathering all of these forces to go and fight the bad boys, basically. So that's kind of how I'm imagining it.
This is the part where we're all on the helicarrier and Loki's just kind of crashed everything and we're kind of trying to bring all the Avengers together.
Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm still Yeager's in a bubble, and
I'm still convinced that analogy, that's what I was looking for. Loki is Pendlebridge. Okay. And we don't know who Thanos is yet. Yeah. But it has something to do with the knights.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, Pendlebridge is I like a villain that like clearly is outmatched by us in combat, but there's just so much in the way of him that we can't just like run up and kill him. It's fun.
Nice. Sort of commenting on that, I feel like there's like a video game tendency for people to be like, yes, the bad guy has to be the boss, like the final boss that you fight, kind of a thing. But like, I don't know if people have played like games like Oblivion, Skyrim. Sometimes the final boss is just like some dude. He's like, oh, you're like, Puh! He's like, and falls over, and you're like, finally, I got you.
Yeah,
I don't know about that, but I do love the TikTok tropes and memes that I've been seeing where it's like. It's like, oh, hi, it's that helpful NPC villager that we really like. And then at the end, it's like, oh, no, it's always been the helpful NPC villager that we like. No! Like, and no. It's like,
I am Satan.
I'm the devil. Come beat me. I dare you.
Hey, you guys want to go crash a wedding?
Yes.
Always.
Hey, God. Ruin it. I'm so excited.
I don't know. We could go talk about some armor again.
Oh my God. Yeah. Do it. Oh God.
That conversation still went on when Annie and Vincere fell asleep. Like, they were just like rolled to each other like they're at a slumber party. And like,
oh my God. Really?
What's your favorite?
That's good for your forearms? I thought it was just good for the core.
No. All of you to assume Vincere didn't kick y'all outside, but okay. Because that's where that was going.
I will say, as we're like bringing this to a close, did have like a couple of like little plugs, I guess, or announcements for everyone who's out there is listening. Come and catch myself and Julian on the Freeforged. It's a Twitch channel. We're going to be doing this stream with Kids on Bikes called Honor Roll. So come check it out. I think it's end of June, early July, sometimes like that. Sometime around there. We record these in advance, so it'll be sometime around there. Also, if go on to YouTube, I think this comes out around the same time. I did a Call of Cthulhu game with Kerri Smith, K-E-R-R-I Smith, on YouTube. She did a thing called a Glass Chronicles campaign. It was a fun little Call of Cthulhu game, and I'm on the third. It's like separated into like three little like chapters, and I'm on the third chapter, so come check it out. But yeah, that's all the stuff that I've got.
Once again, check out our Wild West one-off. Yes. And if you are in New York, you can perhaps monthly, perhaps less frequently, see myself and Maddie do some D&D improv at with Joke and Dagger at the Vino Theater.
Yeah, it's great.
Can we get one word to leave the viewers on before we crash this wedding?
Wedding Crashers 2022. Hike.
Okay.
That was unenthusiastic, but I meant it.
let's crash this wedding.
Right.
I'm gonna save Jordan. I'm gonna crash the wedding. Make sure Layla gets married.
We can crash it. Yes, we can.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for watching or listening to The General Adventuring Company. And a huge thank you to our supporters and Patreon subscribers for making all this possible. Follow the show at TGACpod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and on YouTube at The General Adventuring Company. For more content and involvement with the show and cast, go to patreon.com/TGACpod. The logo and map is by Kaylee Reed at Pastadorable. The character art and overlays are by Apollo Avery at Apollinaires. The music and sound effects are from Epidemic Sound at epidemicsound.com. The Dungeon Master is Adam Sowards at Sowards_Adam. Annie is Kaylee Reed at Kaylee Did. Vincere is Maddie Wright at Maddie's Comet. Cenog is Julian Hermano at Julie CIEI. Jaeger is Matthew Eberly at Matthew Eberly Photography. Today's episode was edited by Max Larish at Tanzian Sketch, Matthew Eberly at Matthew Eberly Photography, and Adam Sowards at Sowards_Adam. The tabletop system used today was a modified version of Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition, published by Wizards of the Coast. Dungeons & Dragons was originally created by Dave Arneson and Gary Gygax. Wizards of the Coast does not endorse TGAC or its use of Dungeons & Dragons. The TGAC team would like to thank Wizards of the Coast for continuing to develop and create this wonderful game that brings endless fun and adventure to so many.